Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Let's turn our attention one final time to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. And while you're turning there, Tammy Sabine, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. And David and Teresa, happy anniversary to you folks. That's great. Oh, we thought you'd left. We were just applauding. Yeah. Well, we'll see if we can fix that. It's good to have my brother David here this morning with us. Amen. And I want to thank you for praying for him and visiting with him. It's been a long road for him. It's been a long road for us, but we're glad you're here this morning, Dave. It's good to see you, buddy. If you are accustomed to following the outline that's in your bulletin, then you need to set that aside. Uh-oh, I heard somebody say, uh-oh. I knew it was going to be a short week for me this week because Chris and I were going to a conference in Sacramento for Thursday and for Friday, and so I had thoroughly studied the text that I wanted to preach this morning and had the outline ready, and Miss Gladys, she had everything all set and ready to go and put in the bulletin. And then during the course of the week, it just wasn't coming together. And after we got home from the conference, I had completely rewritten the sermon. And then yesterday, I was working on it again, and it just wasn't coming together. And so I completely rewrote the sermon. And then I got up this morning, and I said, Lord, so just set that outline aside. You can use it for scrap paper if you'd like to, but let's just see where the Lord takes us this morning, okay? I feel compelled as we come to the end of our study in the book of Daniel not to go back and rehash everything. Lord knows that would take way too long, and you certainly wouldn't tolerate that, I'm sure. But I'm impressed with two things as I look back over Daniel's life and Daniel's ministry. And I want to share those two things with you this morning, Lord willing. The first thing is, when we read a text, when we read a book like Daniel, when we read about the life of an individual, we need to come to terms with that person's concept, understanding, idea of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. There's no doubt in my mind, and there should be no doubt in your mind if you've been with us throughout this study, that Daniel was, and Daniel rested in, the complete assurance of God's sovereignty. And if Daniel teaches us anything at all, he teaches us to embrace the sovereignty of God in our lives and in our world. Now, without going into a detailed study on the sovereignty of God, let me just define that sovereignty in biblical terms. It is God who has created all things, and it is God who sustains all things by his wisdom and by his power. All things work together for good because God is sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over the good days. He's sovereign over the bad days. He's sovereign over our advancements, and he's sovereign over our setbacks. He's sovereign over us whether we acknowledge his sovereignty or not. He is even sovereign over Satan and the minions of hell. There is nothing that escapes the mind or the eye or the sovereignty of God. God has a plan for all of creation. And he has a plan for you, and he has a plan for me. And God, in his sovereignty and according to his wisdom and power, is going to work out his plan in your life and in my life and in all creation until we come to that point in time when we, with the myriads of other individuals, angels in heaven and demons in hell, will bow before him and declare him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The second thing that impresses me about Daniel, and this is really where I want to focus my attention this morning, is the last verse, the very last verse of the book, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 13. God is speaking to Daniel through the angel Gabriel. And may I remind you again that Daniel is very old now. He's at the end of his days, but he's not reached the end yet. He still has time left. He still has a few years left. But insofar as God's word to Daniel, the revelations through the visions and the dreams, and through these messengers, the angels that God has sent Daniel to minister to him and to speak to him, that time is over. And God says through the angel Gabriel to Daniel, "But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise in your inheritance at the end of days." I want to talk to you about finishing well. Finishing well. I look out across us here this morning, I see a number of young people here, teenagers, young adults. And I know, for the most part, the last thing on your mind is finishing well. You have your life ahead of you. You have years to spend time following your dreams, setting your plans and following those plans, working those plans out in your life. And finishing well doesn't really register with you at this point. I also see young adults and median adults, and maybe you've thought about it, but you don't put much stock in it just yet. Most of you are not thinking about retirement. Most of you are not thinking about the end of your days. You're still nesting. You're still, you know, working with your little ones at home and working to establish yourself in your job and making those connections that are necessary and you know, putting into your retirement plans and all those kinds of things. But there's no real thought in your mind about finishing well. And then I see those of you who are my age, and we're really thinking about finishing well, because we know that our days are numbered. And I know for some of you, I'm still quite young, but I know for some of you, I'm really old. I know when I was a teenager, anybody in their 60s was ancient. But we begin to think about finishing well. And then some of you who are our seniors, I know you're thinking about your final days, when they will come, how they will come, and how you will be able to deal with those. You think about finishing well. I would impress upon all of us, young or old, that you think about finishing well. But if we're going to finish well, we must do well. We must live well. And if we're going to live well, we need to start well. There needs to come a place and there needs to come a time in our lives when we set it in our heart and our mind that from this day forward, we're going to be the best that God created us to be. And we're going to do the best that God wants us to do. Not necessarily thinking about the finishing well, but to think about the living well and the doing well. Everything in the book of Daniel is important for us to know and to practice. Because like Daniel and like Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael, we're all at a time where we're finding ourselves to be aliens in a strange land. And I know there are times when even our young ones ask, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to deal with the things that I'm facing at school, the things that I'm facing in the neighborhood, the things that I'm facing with my friends, my peers, my parents, my siblings? How do I live in a culture, in a nation, and in a world that's increasingly hostile toward Jesus Christ and those who follow after Jesus Christ? How do I cope? I think we find the answer here in these final words in the book of Daniel. You go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise in your inheritance at the end of days. And I want to draw from this text three important activities, I think, that we need to engage in to begin well. And if we've already begun well, that we will live well, that we will do well. And if we're involved in that, that we will finish well. That we will complete what it is that we have set out to accomplish in Christ Jesus. And so I want to talk to you just briefly about these three important activities. The first one is this. If we want to begin well, we have to begin where Daniel began. We have to know the God that Daniel knew. Now, you may not be as young as Daniel. Remember, when we began our study, we found Daniel taken off into exile into Babylon, and he was a 15-year-old boy. But Daniel had already begun well in his life because at that point in time, Daniel was already living in fellowship with the true and living God. Daniel had already committed his life to God, and Daniel was walking in fellowship with God. He knew God. He began well. Maybe you didn't have that opportunity in your life. Maybe you were not raised in a Christian home. Maybe you didn't go to church when you were younger. Maybe this is the first time you're in a church setting, or maybe this is the first time that you're in a worship service, or maybe you have been dabbling in this a little bit. Maybe you've been curious about this. Maybe there have been people who've been talking to you about this, but this is still all kind of fuzzy to you. You really want to make your life count, but you really don't know how, because everything to you, like it is to me and to a lot of other people, everything seems upside down, back to front, inside out. There are a lot of things in life that don't make much sense anymore. So where do I begin? How do I make the most of this journey that I'm on that's called life? Well, dear friends, you begin with God. It is God who created you. It is God who put you here. It is God that gives you life and breath. It is God that has given you sight and sound and taste and feeling. It is God who's given you a conscience, and God has given you the ability to think and to do. And here's where we begin. We begin with the God who put us here. And the God who is sovereign over us. We must know the God that Daniel knew. Daniel prayed to God. Daniel was faithful to God. Daniel honored God in all of his decisions. And he spoke to God about everything that concerned him in his life. And Daniel was not afraid to speak of God to the kings and to the officials of the kingdom, because he knew God and he had a personal relationship with God. Well, how did he know God? And how can you know God? And how do I know God? And how can we know God personally? It seems like God is so mysterious to a lot of folks. To a lot of folks, it seems like God is just so far away. And we're just kind of stuck here on this rock to try to figure it all out for ourselves. How do I know God? Well, I believe that Daniel knew God like you and I must know God. One of the places where we begin is we begin with his word. My mother used to tell us when we were children at home that this is God's love letter to us. These are God's instructions to us. This is what God has to say about life and about living. We begin here. And David and I, when we were younger, along with Ronnie and with Marianne and with Bill, at home when we were children, Dad and Mom were very concerned about our spiritual welfare. And every morning, we prayed together, and every evening, we read the Bible together. This is where we begin. We begin with God's written word. But it doesn't stop there. We also become very sensitive to God's Holy Spirit, because God has sent his Holy Spirit to help us understand this book and to see beyond the printed page and to know the God that this book speaks to us about. The Holy Spirit who inspired the writers to write this book is the same Holy Spirit who interprets this book to our understanding. And he's the same Holy Spirit who helps us apply the things that we learn from this book to apply those things into our lives. We begin with God's Word, and we continue to work with God's Holy Spirit. But in our reading and studying the Word of God, and in our listening and to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, eventually he will bring us to the person of Jesus Christ. And it is through Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the one who ministered to Daniel, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael prior to his incarnation. It is the same Christ who ministers to you and who ministers to me. It's always been God's desire that we know him personally. It is not enough to know him theologically. It is not enough to know him philosophically. It is not enough to know him religiously. We must know God personally. And dear friend, it doesn't matter how long you've been going to church, and it doesn't matter how much of the sacred text that you have committed to memory, and it doesn't matter how often you go through the ceremonies and the traditions and the rituals of your particular religion. If you don't know God through Jesus Christ, then you don't know God. And you cannot be in fellowship with God. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, I know that there are many in the world, and there are even churches in our world today who will have you believe that there are many ways to God and there are many roads to heaven. But the Bible is very clear, crystal clear on this subject. I'm thinking of Ephesians. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Just keep your thumb there in Daniel, and let's take a look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Look at verse 7. In him, that is, in Jesus Christ, in him we have redemption through his blood. This is very exclusive. There is no redemption apart from Jesus. Redemption is in him. If you want to be saved, if you want to go to heaven when you die, if you want fellowship with the true and living God, it has to be in him. In Jesus Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. If you're trusting in the church to save you, you'll never be saved. If you're trusting in the rituals of the church, the traditions of the church, the ceremonies of the church, the fellowship of the church, even in the priests and the pastors of the church, you'll never be saved. You'll never be saved. That's a lie from Satan. And that lie has caused many people to be spiritually blinded to the truth. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. If you're trusting in yourself, your good works, your religious devotion, if you're trusting in these things to save you, you won't make it. You won't make it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in to the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, and he's speaking of the day of judgment, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Think about it for a moment. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to Jewish people, sons and daughters of Abraham. And mixed into that crowd of people there are the religious leaders of Israel, Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, the religious elite, the priests, those that minister in the temple, and those that officiate in the synagogues. And Jesus is telling these individuals, someday you're going to stand before God on the day of judgment, and you're going to give a litany of all of the wonderful things that you have done in your priesthood, all of the wonderful things that you have done in your devotion to Mosaic law, all of the things that you've done to honor the ceremonies and the traditions of the Hebrew people. And God will say to you, depart from me. You were religious, but we had no relationship. You didn't know me, and I didn't know you. You must be saved. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be saved, or you're not going to survive this world, and you're not going to enjoy the world to come. Second thing, you need to begin well, yes. And beginning well is a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But you also need to live well. You need to do well. And that was also a part of Daniel's life. Look at it again. Go back to Daniel chapter 12 and look at it again. The Lord says to him through the angel Gabriel, "But you, go your way until the end." In other words, Daniel, you keep doing what you're doing. You continue on in your life for however long you're going to live. You keep at it. You keep going. And you keep ministering as you have ministered all of your life. All of these 70 years that you have been in Babylon and then Medo-Persia and now Persia. You keep it up. You stay with it. You stick with your fellowship in God until the end comes. You must live well. You must do well. See, there's an appointed course for every one of us until the day we die. God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, whether or not we recognize His sovereignty over us or not. God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. He had a plan and a purpose for Daniel. He had a plan and a purpose for Azariah and for Mishael and for Hananiah. And His plan for them, even as young boys, as 15-year-olds, who've been ripped out of their homeland and who've been transported into an alien land, His plan for them was to stay there in Babylon. Stay there and be my witness to an arrogant and corrupt king. Stay there and live a righteous and a holy life in a godless and a sinful culture. Stay there and be faithful and obedient to me in a lawless and in a dying nation. Now, these boys were hated, were they not? They were foreigners. The Babylonian people didn't like them. They felt that the Hebrew people, the Jews, were inferior. After all, they conquered them. They felt that their God was inferior because their God allowed Babylon to conquer the Jews. So they were a despised people. They were hated. As we've read through the book of Daniel, as we've studied it, we know from time to time they were betrayed. They were betrayed. They were humiliated. They were coerced. And they were even executed. They survived the executions. But Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were cast into the fiery furnace. Daniel was cast into the lion's den. But they survived. They were executed. But they remained faithful to the Lord God through it all. And they did as the saints and the prophets of the Old Testament and Jesus and the apostles of the New Testament. They stayed the course. They followed the plan that God had set out for them to follow. You remember the Apostle Paul? Some of you do. Not that you knew him personally. Some of you may be old enough that you knew him personally, but you know about him. When Paul was saved, the Lord said to a man by the name of Ananias that lived up in the northern part of Israel, in the country of Israel, in Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 11 and 12, the Lord said to Ananias, He said, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." And then in verses 15 and 16, the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." I guarantee you, dear friends, if the Lord spoke to each and every one of us who were called to preach the gospel, who were called to minister in the churches, and he came to each and every one of us individually with that kind of a blessing, we wouldn't have very many pastors of churches anymore. show him the things that he must suffer for my sake. I'll tell you right now, dear friends, there are not a whole lot of individuals in our pulpits today who are in it for the suffering. Most of the guys that I know and I hear about, they're in it for all of the rewards. They're in it for the accolades. They're in it for the influence and the power. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the book endorsements and all of those other kinds of things. They're not in it for the suffering of it. But right up front, the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, you go to Paul, you go to Saul, and you tell him the things that he's going to suffer for my name's sake. Well, how did Paul fare in the course of his life and in the course of his ministry? How did he do? He suffered. He was victorious over the suffering, but he suffered. He writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in labors I was more abundant, in stripes above measure, that is, being whipped, stripes on his back. In prison, more frequent. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, that is, in the depths of the ocean. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all of the churches. It wasn't a cakewalk for the Apostle Paul. He suffered, and yet he stayed the course, amen? He knew what God's plan was for him right up front. And even though he was later on in years when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he began that journey well because he was face to face with Christ. He embraced God's will for his life, and every day that he lived, and every day that he ministered, and every day that he traveled, and every day that he was subject to the persecution of those who rejected the gospel and the Christ of the gospel, he suffered, but he stayed the course. He kept on keeping on. He followed God's plan for his life faithfully. And so at the end of the life that he lived, he was able to testify to his young friend Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. May it be said of all of us what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Not popular, not wealthy, not embraced by everyone, not included by every group in the community, not spoken well of by every individual, not someone who has appreciated or treated well in the press, but found faithful. May it be that each of us will hear from the lips of Jesus Christ himself when we stand at his judgment seat, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Know the Lord and be saved. Know his will and stay the course. There's a third thing here, though, that I want to draw our attention to, and then I'll let you go. We need to begin well. We need to live well. We need to continue well. But we also need to finish well. We need to finish well. But you go your way, God said to Daniel through the angel Gabriel. Go your way until the end, for you shall rest. and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. I like what Jachaites said many, many, many years ago. I like his paraphrase of the text. His paraphrase goes something like this: "But thou, O Daniel, go to the end of thy life in this world, and after thou art dead, rest in the rest of paradise. And at the end of days thou shalt stand and live in the resurrection of the dead, and shall enjoy thy good lot in the world to come." You see, if you begin well in Christ Jesus, and if you live well every day in fellowship with Christ Jesus, you will end well, and you will live forever with Christ Jesus. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And you know, dear friends, that's what all of us need to do. Every single one of us, myself included, we need to forget the things that are behind us. Amen? I can't afford to live on the successes of yesterday. I've been a successful person in my life and in my ministry, but I cannot live the rest of my life on the successes of yesterday. I must continue to live my life in fellowship with Jesus Christ today, looking forward to finishing well in Christ Jesus whenever that time comes. Maybe you've not been successful in your life in the past. What is God's counsel to you? Put it behind you. Put it behind you and leave it behind you. Begin today. Start well today. Begin in Christ Jesus today. Recommit your life to Christ today if you're already saved. If you're not living for the Lord, if you're not accomplishing anything for the Lord, if you've not been in fellowship with the Lord, let that be your past. And start anew today. Begin again today. And begin living each and every day that God gives you. Begin to live that in fellowship with the Lord until that time, however long it's going to be, until that end comes that the angel spoke to Daniel about. And then you will rest in the Lord. And you will be raised in Christ Jesus to live with the Lord forever. You will finish well. I quoted that passage of Scripture a while ago where Paul said to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." Well, there's a reward. Paul continues in his testimony to young Timothy. "Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day and to everyone who loves his appearing." That's essentially what the Lord said to Daniel here. There is coming a day of resurrection. There is coming a time when you will receive your inheritance. He will receive his inheritance for many years of faithful service to the Lord as an alien in a strange land, because he began well and he ran the course well and he finished well. Do you have that same word of the Lord in your heart and in your mind? Have you begun well? Are you living well? Are you doing well? In your mind, as you project in your mind's eye what your end might be, can you envision yourself finishing well your course? You can't finish well if you don't do well. And you're not going to do well unless you begin well. It begins with Jesus. Listen, it begins with Jesus. It continues on in Jesus. And it ends with Jesus. Jesus said, and I'll close with this passage of Scripture, Revelation chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said to the church, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the holy city." Finish well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful book. Thank you for the life of Daniel. Thank you for his example. Thank you for his courage. Thank you for his boldness. Thank you, Father, for his commitment to you. Even when he faced adversity, even when he faced difficult times, even when he faced the threat of death, he would not waver. He kept his mind focused on you. He kept his heart focused on you. He kept his hands doing your work. Father, Daniel lived in days much like our own. He lived in days where those around him gave no regard to the true and living God. He lived among a people who were idolatrous, people who were worldly, people who were corrupt, people who were pagan, people who were prejudiced, people who were violent, people who took advantage of others. The days that Daniel lived in are no different than the days that we live in. And while we may very well say it is hard for us to live for Jesus in such a culture, remind us, Lord God, it wasn't easy for Daniel to live in his day either. It wasn't easy for Jesus to live in the culture that he lived in. It wasn't easy for the Apostle Paul to live as an ambassador for Jesus in the places where your Holy Spirit took him. So we can't use that as a cop-out. We cannot excuse ourselves for living daily in fellowship with you because of the times that we're living in. Impress upon us, Lord God, to do as the Apostle Paul has said, to put all other things behind us. They're history to us. Leave it all behind us and begin today and live today in fellowship with you. To begin with you, to live each moment of the day with you, that we might end with you. There may be one, Lord, today who needs that beginning in his life. They've never made the commitment to Jesus Christ. They don't know you. They've heard a lot about you. Maybe they've gone to church. Maybe they were even raised in a Christian home, but they don't really know you. They've never come to saving faith in you. They've never put their life's trust in you. And so they don't know you. But today they can. For the invitation of your Son Jesus Christ is, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." They can come to Jesus today. Maybe there are those who have begun in you, but Father, the things of the world have enticed them, the things of the world have distracted them, the things of the world have drawn them back, and they're not living in fellowship with you. They're not doing well because they're not walking with you. May they begin again today. May they recommit their life to Jesus today. May they do as Paul did, put all things behind them, and to focus their attention on Christ, and to press on to the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, so that they may finish well. There are those among us today, Lord God, who've lived a faithful life. They've been like Daniel. Every moment of every day, they have walked in fellowship with you. And now they're coming to the end of their days, and they're looking forward to that inheritance that you have promised to them. And they're rejoicing in their heart that every single day that they live here is one day closer to the throne in glory. Bless them. Continue to uphold them. May they hear the word of the Lord to Daniel. Continue on your way until the end comes. For your inheritance is awaiting you in glory. Thank you for their testimony. Thank you for their example. Thank you for their faith. So, Father, this invitation is for all of us to know you, to walk with you, and to finish with you. I pray that may be the desire of our heart as well. In Jesus I ask. Amen and amen. Stand with me if you will. David is going to come and lead us in a song of invitation. I'm going to ask some of our deacons and their wives to come and stand here at the altar. If you are ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, if you're ready to be saved, I invite you to come. You can be saved today. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the time. The Lord is speaking to your heart. Man, woman, boy, or girl, He's telling you, today is the day of new beginning for you. Today is when you start on your journey with me. I would ask you to come and present yourself before the Lord and commit your life to Him and be saved. Christian friend, maybe you've begun well, but you're not doing well. You're not doing well. You can put all of that behind you and you can get back on track today. You can come back into fellowship with God. You can recommit your life to the Lord today. It's up to you. Whatever your heart is telling you to do, whatever God is calling you to do, you do it now, even as we sing, David, lead us. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.